Okay, John 14, let's look at this together. We have been doing kind of a mini series on the Holy Spirit, and last week we talked about Ephesians chapter 5 and what that meant as far as being filled with the Holy Spirit. Verses 18, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, and giving thanks always to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. And one of the ways that we do that, as far as the submitting part, he goes in to say, give examples of that. And the first example he gives in the last part of chapter 5 is, husbands, love your wives as Jesus loves the church. He talks about children submitting to their parents, parents not provoking your children to wrath. And then finally, what relationships look like on the job, slaves to servants, servants to slaves, or owners, and different things like that. So that would have to do with the work that we do. But in John 14, what we find is toward the end of Jesus' ministry on the earth, he gives a discourse about what the Holy Spirit's role would be. And in 14, John 14, 17, and it goes through 14, 15, and 16. So there's different parts in those three chapters that touch on the Holy Spirit. And in verse 17, he says this, "But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." You see that? Let me read it again. "But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." Father, we thank you for this word today that reminds us of the just the closeness that we can have with the God of the universe through the power and through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we want, Lord, more than anything. We want to know your presence. We want to know what your purpose is for our lives and how we can move from where we're at to where you want us to be in a really adequate way, Lord, in these uncertain times that we live in. God, we can be encouraged through your presence. We can be lifted up. Lord, we don't need to be fearful or doubt. Well, Lord, we don't need to question and wonder what the future holds because we know that if it's with you, it's good and it's perfect. And so we thank you for that today. We love you in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Amen. So in Ephesians, if you go back to chapter 5 and you start in verse 14, it tells us the things that we're not supposed to do or the things that we're supposed to be careful of. And then he goes into some of the things that he actually used the word but in the English. There's three times it says that. And so then you have what not to do and then you have what you can do. And then he finishes it up with being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so that is such a relational component to how we approach God, that we have the God of the universe that wants to not just be with us, but he wants to live inside of us. And so when you come to Jesus and you give him your heart, you become born again. The Spirit of God lives in you and with you. But when you're filled and you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, what happens is it's like the words of Jesus, that it's like springs of living water that flow up inside of you that overflow. And so it's really a remarkable thing. I told you last week about my experience and what that looked like, and it was a remarkable thing because in one moment I was one way, and the next I was completely transformed and different. And what I discovered with that is that usually that's not the norm. It was kind of an unusual or really special thing that happened. And so a lot of times people's experience with the Holy Spirit isn't quite that dramatic. Sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. But nonetheless, what we come to in John 14 is the idea that Jesus, through his death and through his resurrection, as he pours out the Holy Spirit upon our lives, what happens is the Holy Spirit wants to dwell and live inside of each one of us. And the idea here with that is that we find this word later in verse 26, if you want to look at that in John 14. He says, "An advocate teaching us to remember what Jesus said." So we have an advocate, and an advocate is someone who basically is a counselor, or it's someone like an attorney that stands up and gives evidence in court for someone. And so we have the Holy Spirit that dwells with inside of us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit that will give evidence on our behalf. who is the actual word there is parakletos, and it means someone who actually comes alongside to help, like a counselor or a comforter or a helper or even an intercessor, someone who will fill in the gap between us and God, who will represent us in the right way. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get misunderstood. Sometimes I don't get across really what I need to not just say, but how I represent myself before God. How many of you know the Holy Spirit's the one that can come into those situations and represent you well to the Father? That's what I need in my life. I need to be represented well because I'm not always clear, or I could communicate a little bit better, not just with my relationships, but with the Lord. And sometimes I don't even know what to say. Sometimes I don't know how to represent myself, but there's someone inside of me who does. And there's someone inside of me who can represent me well, who knows my innermost being and my thoughts. In John 16, verse 8, he says this, "When he comes, he will convict the world of sin, of God's righteousness, and of the coming judgment." And so when in my life there are things that are lurking inside of me that I don't even know, you know, sometimes they just have become commonplace. Sometimes their attitudes, sometimes their mindsets. And they've been there for so long that I just think that they're just like, a roommate that lives in my life, you know. But it's a roommate that doesn't pay rent. It's a roommate that doesn't belong there. And so the Holy Spirit's job is to point that out in my life and say, you know what, you have an unwelcome guest that's in your home that doesn't belong there. And that's what he does. He convicts the world of sin. And the idea behind that is that we don't even know sometimes what sins are lurking inside of us. But when we're convicted, we know that it's coming from a source that's much greater than just conscience sake. It's a higher influence in our lives. And it can also be an attitude. It can be a mindset of something that's contrary to the Word of God, or something that is not really producing good fruit in our lives that needs to be dealt with and done away with. I think it's interesting that the other thing, maybe before you're a believer, before you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you had great difficulty in withstanding temptation. So whatever influence was greatest in your life, you would succumb to it. But when the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, we can withstand temptation. We can resist the enemy, and he can flee from us. The other thing is this. One preacher said it like this. He said that the Lord can't fix it as long as we're faking it. And many times we try to fake it, don't we? We try to justify it, or just maybe believe that it doesn't exist, something in my life that doesn't belong there. As long as I don't have to think about it or address it, then it'll just go away on its own. How many of you know the devil's not going to let up on you? It's not going to go away on its own. You and I have to be very intentional with allowing the Holy Spirit to not just search our hearts and find these things in these areas in our lives that need to be dealt with, but also to help us overcome those things by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and not being afraid to die. So that has to do with disciplining your flesh. And we talked about that last week, about that there's two battles that are going on. You know, there's this battle between the flesh and the spirit. And I mentioned this, and I thought about it this week, that in what I said, that the flesh, it, to me, is much greater power in your life than the devil, because you live in this body, you live in the flesh. And you and I are confronted with it all the time. Whereas the enemy comes and goes, and when there's an opportunity that presents itself, the enemy will present himself to you and I, or send his agents to do that. But nonetheless, we can succumb to the flesh and our sin nature that allows the enemy access into our lives. So if we can get a hold of the sin nature and let the Lord deal with it, and have us overcome those things by the power of the Holy Spirit, it really cuts off access into our lives from the enemy. It really does. So there are such things as offenses and unforgiveness. Those are pretty big ones, because we all from time to time get offended, and we all from time to time find ourselves being unforgiving or resentful or bitter, if you will. And if we're not careful with that, we can succumb to it in that it's, and I'll tell you this, unforgiveness and bitterness and those type of things of offense, those are really sneaky things that can present themselves in our lives that we really have to be mindful of and be careful of. The enemy will, disguise it like it's something that's not so bad, or maybe it's not even there, but we need to be aware of it. Jesus said, beware, because offenses will come. They're going to come. You're going to get offended in life, but you don't have to stay offended, and you don't have to take the offense. You can let go of it and ask the Lord to rid you of it and forgive you of it as well, as far as the unforgiveness part is concerned. So there's also chaos and disorder. You know, the enemy really only has two main objectives, and one of them are lies, and the other one are confusion. Lies and confusion. So wherever there's an atmosphere of confusion, chaos, or lies, because the chaos presents itself as a lie from time to time. And, I mean, have you ever believed something that about someone or about yourself or about the Lord that wasn't true? It was a lie that presented itself, and usually it presents itself when there's chaos or when there's disorder in your life. So if you ever are in an atmosphere, either mentally or even physically, in a situation where there's chaos, usually that's where the enemy likes to come in and try to deceive us, because we kind of lose our bearings. You know, we can kind of lose our footing if we're not careful. But when there's order and there's peace, that's where the Holy Spirit resides. So the idea is that in these situations where there's disorder and where there's chaos or where there's confusion, then that's where the Word of God and the truth of God and His Holy Spirit inside of us can prevail over those uncertainties in our lives. There's also oppressive bondage that wants to captivate us and hold us. You know, some people are so bound that they don't know any other way of life. They've lived in their bondage for so long that they just accept it as being part of the norm. Or maybe they grew up that way, or their parents were that way, or their grandparents were that way. Maybe it was iniquity that was passed down from generation to generation. And so it's become so commonplace that it has created a stronghold or a bondage in your life. Those things can be broken through the power of the Holy Spirit operating inside of us. Also, torment through fear and anxiety. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And along with that chaos comes fear. Along with that uncertainty comes anxiety. And one of the greatest ways to overcome anxiety and fear is to let the Holy Spirit well up in you through boldness, quoting and remembering and focusing on and memorizing God's Word. To remind the devil his place in your life. Get behind me, Satan. You have no place in my life. And so when there's disorder, when there's panic, when there's torment or anxiety or fear, the enemy should know his place. That the Spirit of God is not one of fear, but of peace and joy and love and of calmness and quietness in the Spirit. How many of you have thoughts that play over in your mind from time to time? It's like, you know, a reel that you just hit and it goes over, plays again, and you hit it again and it just plays over and over again. And usually, why is it that the good things never play over and over again? Why is it always the bad things that play over and over again? I mean, it'd be great if the good things played over, wouldn't it? But that's not usually how it works. It's always the bad things that remind us. And if you notice, like, we're never, captivated by the good things. It's always something negative. Like, why can't we have positive thoughts in our lives? Why do we always have to ruminate on bad things? Do you ever wonder that? It's because that's the enemy camping out in your life. He's an unwelcome roommate, you guys. He does not belong there. He is not paying rent. So he's got to go. He's got to go. He's got to get evicted. And it's up to you and me to do that. The other thing is this. I think that sometimes we forget that according to that verse, that there's a right way to live. Because God, it says that He will not just convict the world of its sin, but of righteousness. And righteousness is the right thing to do, or the right way to live. There's the right way and the wrong way. And if we allow Him to work in our lives, then it's very clear what the right way is. Sometimes it's not so easy, though, is it? Sometimes it's hard to discern what the right thing is to do. But if we allow Him to work in our lives, and if we stay as close as we can to Him, He'll show us what the right thing and the right way is to go. And then finally, I think one of the biggest things that we all have to face from time to time, this is probably just as slick as unforgiveness, this one, and it's called pride. And if you've ever had pride in your life, or if you've ever, we do a lot of things through pride. Pride because we don't want to look stupid. Pride because we want to look good in people's eyes. Pride because we think we deserve more than what we have. Pride disguises itself in all kinds of different ways. And that's what was found in the enemy from the beginning. But how many of you know the Holy Spirit, He is committed to humility in our lives? He's committed to it. And He'll help us, and He'll reveal areas of pride in our lives if we'll let Him. Galatians 5:22 says this, and these are the fruits of the Spirit. It says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. If you look at Galatians 5, preceding those two verses, you'll have the works of the flesh. So it's like we have a choice of what we're going to live. Who are we going to allow to have the say-so in our lives? Are we going to let the flesh do it, or are we going to let the Lord do it? Well, I can tell you this, that as good as I think my flesh is, I always come up empty. I always come up without. And I always come up wanting and lacking. But I want to tell you something. The change agent is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that will help us have these fruits come out of our lives when the pressure's on, or when we're under tremendous times of stress and worry and fear. You know, one guy said it like this. He said, Dr. Arnold, he said, we too much live, as it were, out of God's atmosphere. You know, I want to live in the atmosphere of God, which is, you know what that's called? It's called the presence of God. Some people would say, well, it's the anointing of God. You can call it what you want, but it's in His presence. It's His atmosphere. I want to live in the atmosphere of God, don't you? I want to live under His presence. I want to live under the shelter of the Most High. Don't you want to live that way? Don't you want to live in that place? Led and guided by the Spirit of God beside the still waters. That's where I want to be. I want to be like Psalm 23:6 says, that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's where I want to live. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to be in His presence. In His presence, you guys, is fullness of joy. He's the change agent. And if we want to change and we want to be transformed, we got to be in His presence. We really do. These days there are a lot of distractions, and if we're not careful, we can be led astray by those things. And many of distractions are good things, but they're not helpful, and they're not productive. They can be good, but it doesn't mean that they're right for you and me. And so we got to concentrate more than ever before. You guys, these are perilous times that we're living in, more than ever before. More than ever before. The enemy knows that his time is short. We got to be prepared for what the future holds. And that's what it says in those verses, that he will, John 16 says, of coming judgment. See, there's a judgment that's coming. There's a future that's coming. None of us should be caught off guard by the things that we see around us. None of us should be. Like we know what's up. We read the last book of the Bible. We know where it's coming. We've read Matthew 26. We know what's coming. None of this should catch us off guard. None of this should perplex us. None of us should be anxious about this stuff. We know it's coming to a close. The world as we know it is grinding to a halt. It's coming to an end. How much more so in these days that we're living in do we need a supernatural resource? We need the Holy Spirit to help us in these days that we're living in. Have you ever seen I didn't know the name of it, but I had to look it up. It's called a convex traffic mirror, or a convex safety mirror. You work in a warehouse or maybe a factory, and there's like forklifts or things moving around, or trucks even. There'll be these mirrors, and many times they're, depending on where you're at, they even have them on like light poles in different places. And what these mirrors are is they are curved outward toward the viewer so that the shape allows the person that's looking at it to have a wide angle view. And typically it's about 160 degrees. So, and even some truckers have them on their mirrors, and they're smaller. But what they do is they allow you a better view and a picture of what's happening and what's to come. But most of the time, these particular things I'm talking about, they're large, and they're a key junction so that you don't get harmed or hurt or get in an accident. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit is that mirror in our lives? He knows what's coming. He knows what's up. He knows what's ahead. And if we listen to Him, we listen to His voice, we follow His will, what will happen is danger will be averted and we won't succumb to all the things that the enemy wants to use to trip us up. It's really, really a great thing to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit in our lives. John 16:13 says this, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but He will tell you what He's heard, and He will tell you about the future." So the idea there is that we are guided into truth. How many of you know that you can't even watch the news and know what's true? Like you don't know if this is doctored, if AI has made this video or put this person there or whatever. Like, we even more than ever, we cannot trust any type of information that we are receiving. Would you agree with that? How much more so do we need the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us? You know, I didn't realize it at the time, but I guess I did, but even in certain little things, like going on the internet and getting a flight, you know? Recently, I went on a trip, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, don't get that. Don't get that flight. And I was like, I did it anyway because it was the cheapest. Yeah. And I can tell you that because of that, I did that. There were things that I tolerated and I had to put up with because of my decision. But I didn't see it at the time until I was able to look back and say, I should have listened. How many of you know that those are those times when God is building your faith to show you just listen to what He says? Even if you don't understand it, even if you don't have all the information, just do what He tells you to do and it'll work out right. How many of you know that those times when you can look back and say, man, thank the Lord I did what I was supposed to do. Those are great times, aren't they? But woe is the person who didn't do what they were supposed to do and look back and say, I should have listened. I should have done what I was supposed to do in those moments. So He leads us into truth. He guides us. And not just does He reveal the truth, but He confirms the Word of God and He exposes lies in our lives. Okay? Let's move now to another bit of passage of Scripture found in Acts chapter 1. Before we look there, let me illustrate this with a game that maybe we used to play when you were a kid. Did anybody ever play Red Light, Green Light? Do you guys know what that game is, Red Light, Green Light? You guys probably do it with your grandkids, right? Red Light, Green Light, maybe. So you have a person who has their back to the, you know, crew or the group, and the idea is that the group needs to cross the line so that the guy that's calling out the signals will be eliminated, you know? And the idea is the guy says red light, and then everybody's supposed to stop. And then green light, and they go. And if you say red light and they're still moving, then they're out. And pretty soon, the longer you do it, they get closer and closer and closer and closer. Now, if you played the game long enough, the idea is not just to get across the line, but the idea is you can almost anticipate what they're going to say. Because of the inflection of their voice or because of the kind of a pattern that they get into. You know, you can tell from the person that's doing it that they can almost discern what it's going to be. You see, that's what we want to be like, you guys. We want to go when He tells us to go. We want to stop when He tells us to stop. We want to interpret His voice in our lives so that we hear Him with clarity and with faith so that we can move ahead in life without getting tripped up or eliminated. How many of you want to be like that? I know I do. All right, Acts chapter 1, verse 7 says this. It says, these are the words of Jesus. He says, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know." Now, what Jesus was referring to there is when the king, the nation of Israel would be restored. So he's not saying that we shouldn't know the signs of the times. He's not saying that. He's just saying that when this was when Jesus said this, that they didn't need to concern themselves with when the nation of Israel was going to be restored. Okay, but he says this: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And so one of the things, I believe the primary purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so that we'll be witnesses, so that we'll have boldness to witness. And if you look at the context of when this was written, you have a group of disciples that were afraid for them, for their lives. Every one of them departed from Jesus. Every one of them. And Peter denied Jesus three times. And just a few days later, just a few weeks later, we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where they are filled and where their lives are transformed, where everything changes. And now Peter, the same guy that denied Jesus just a few weeks prior, stands up and preaches to 3,000 people, if not more, and they get saved, and they call him in and say, "You need to quit talking about this name Jesus. You need to quit using his name. You need to just get away from that." And their response was this: "We would rather obey God than you guys." And this is another thing that happened. Subsequently, they were punished, and it says this: that they were counted worthy to suffer for the Lord. Like they found it, that they were filled with joy because they were able to suffer for the kingdom. You see that the attitude, you know what the difference maker was? The Holy Spirit. He was the difference maker. He was the change agent. You have a group of guys that were terrified, scared for their lives, and I would have been too, because I would have seen how Jesus was crucified, and they knew that if they didn't back off from this, that could happen to them. And yet, it still didn't dissuade them from doing what they were supposed to do, and that's to witness. Because of their witness, the gospel through 11 disciples, the gospel is proclaimed throughout the whole world. Through this, if you will, fledgling movement of just a few people, a few men, a few women that were called, that the whole world was turned upside down and transformed by the power of God. And they became witnesses everywhere. By the way, we'll hear more about the witness to Colombia next week, about our missions team that just returned. I believe it was Thursday morning, I got a phone call on WhatsApp, and it was Lori Pitts, and she was in Kenya. And I was in my bathrobe, and I said, "I better answer this." And she was giving an offering to a bunch of students and kids at an orphanage for deaf kids. And they were all there, and they were all waving and saying hi. I mean, it was just a truly remarkable, moving moment for me to see these kids and her there ministering. Only God could do something like that. Taking somebody from the middle of Kansas and taking them to Kenya to be able to minister and bring an offering to bring hope and encouragement to people that are hurting. And yet this happens thousands of times a day all throughout the whole world. You see, that's what God's called us to. He's called us to be witnesses, not just here in Salina and north central Kansas, but in all the world, for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached and proclaimed, and for the goodness of God to help people find hope in the name of the Lord. That's the only way. Listen, the only way the world is going to... There is no hope outside of God. There is no hope outside of Jesus. And we want to share the hope that we've discovered, and we want to help people discover who it is that they are in Christ Jesus and who they can become and the purpose that God's given them, not just to be free from hell and the penalty of death and the penalty of sin, but who they can become in Christ Jesus, that they can be not just recipients of God's power and God's wholeness and God's hope and God's faith, but then they can give that away as well. That's what we're called to do. We're called to do that in every area that we live in, Salina, North Central Kansas. Do you know we even have cross-cultural opportunities right here in Salina? We have people that can't speak English right here in Salina. That's the Samaria. That's a cross-cultural setting. Even in Salina, we have cultures that are not indicative of Salina or of Kansas. You can drive just a few miles. You can go south of here into places in Oklahoma where there are natives that live that whole different culture, whole different way of thinking, whole different way of doing things. That's a cross-cultural opportunity that we have, even where we live right here in the middle of the United States. Well, you know as well as I do the fulfillment of that in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, the day of Pentecost, all the believers were there meeting in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm that filled the house where they were sitting. And then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. And so we have the culmination of it. We have the promise in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We have the fulfillment of the promise in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And so from that point on, the disciples were filled with faith. They were filled with power. They were filled with expectancy. There was no more fear. They were purpose-filled people who wanted to live their lives on the edge for Jesus Christ through His power of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we talked about what it meant that in Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine because that'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we talked about what that meant as far as being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And the contrast of that is when you do drugs, alcohol, or whatever, that's what controls you. But if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, He's the one that controls you. And in the context of Ephesians 5, it's continual. You have songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another. So they're all, in the ing, they're all continual. We could believe or surmise that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have the baptism, then you have one baptism and many fillings, that you can be filled over again. And the reason that you can be filled over again, Miranda, is because you leak, right? Miranda sent me a reel this week and showed me this guy that talked about that. Maybe you have an old, you know, vehicle that leaks. I've driven several of those in my life where you had to fill it up before you could get anywhere, you know? And the oil was cheaper than to buy a new motor. So you just kept putting oil in it. But pretty soon you got to close that leak off, don't you? Well, if you can't, then you just keep filling it. Or maybe you have a vehicle that burns some oil and it smokes, you know, and you need to keep filling it up. So we got to keep the anointing so that all the parts are moving in concert and unity like they're supposed to, that all the cogs are well oiled so that it'll do what it needs to do. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but we have continual fillings. I think I told you last week how I was filled. And so I'll give you the part two of the story. I came home from the camp that I got filled and transformed. I come back and I'm like, that's speaking in tongues. That's some weird stuff. You know, I don't want to do that, you know. And I was coming to Emmanuel, and there were people there that spoke in tongues and stuff. And I was like, well, that's good, but it's kind of weird to me, and I don't want to do it. And so I just stopped. I quit. And then I started dating my wife, Deb, in those days, and her mom was a charismatic, and I was telling her, I was saying, you know, I'm having a lot of trouble praying. You know, I just can't feel like I can break through in my prayers, you know. And she goes, well, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I said, yeah, I'm filled. She said, well, do you speak in tongues? I was like, no, I didn't want to do that. I thought that was weird. I don't want to do it. And she said, well, what you need is you need your prayer language to help you break through in your prayer life. I was like, okay, that sounds right. That's true. And so she prayed with me, and nothing happened. You know, so it's probably 9 or 10 o'clock at night. Nothing happened, and they live out at Fox Run. So I lived up here on Cloud. So this was January, maybe even early February. I get on my motorcycle to drive home, and I'm driving home, and I'm on 9th Street, right across from Alco. That's when Alco was there, and you know Brooks Liquor Store. Okay, right there. The Holy Spirit came on me and I started speaking in tongues on my motorcycle. Yeah. And so it was like, okay, Lord, if that's what you're going to give me, then I'm not going to quit doing it. I'm going to continue. And it was a refilling that the Lord did in my life because I leaked. I leaked. How many of you leak? You leak. Yeah. Or you're burning some oil because you're pushing too hard. You're burning some oil. And God's saying, why don't you let me anoint you again? Why don't you let me fill you again to overflow so that rivers of living water will come out of you? You see, that's how it happened with me. And then finally, as we bring this to a conclusion, and this reiterates what I said in Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray, but the Holy Spirit knows how we should pray with groanings that cannot be expressed with words. That's what I'm talking about. That we don't know how to pray, or our prayers aren't breaking through. That God will fill us to overflow so that our prayers can break through the darkness of an evil world that we live in. And I'm not saying that if you're not filled that God won't answer your prayers. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that there's an extra resource that we have through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, John 15:7 says this, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will ask anything that you want and it will be granted. So when we ask, we know we're asking in his will because we have the Holy Spirit residing in us, helping shape what we ask for and helping us discern what we need in this life. And there's a partnership with God's will and our will becoming one. The Holy Spirit's the glue that holds that together, and the medium of exchange that helps us pray how we need to pray. Finally, he says this twice, Ephesians 6:18 and Jude 20, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. That's what we can do. And then I want to leave with this thought to give you guys. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have the gifts of the Spirit. And last week at the conclusion of the service, I had a tongue and interpretation of tongue. Do you remember that last week? Maybe you watched online or saw that. Well, that's from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. So these gifts are necessary for edification, peace, and comfort to the body of Christ. But here's the other thing that we need to remember. They're called the gifts of the Spirit. So they're gifts that God wants to give to his church for the building up of the saints. But did you know what happens right after 1 Corinthians chapter 12? You know what the next chapter is about? You guys know. You know what it's about. Someone want to tell me? Love. That's a love chapter. That, by the way, that's coming up. So you know, you guys, I've given you a heads up, so you better get ready. It's just in a couple weeks, so you better get ready. But here's the thing. We can't love without his Spirit. Not really. We can't operate in the gifts without his Spirit. We can't witness without his Spirit. We can't pray to fullness and breakthrough without his Spirit. You guys, we can't be led and guided without his Spirit. We can't discern between right and wrong and evil without his Spirit. More than ever before, we need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you want that, why don't you stand with me today? He's a person. He's a person, isn't he? The Holy Spirit is a person. And if you ask him to fill you and to come into your life, he'll do it. There's all kinds of different ways that it can happen. But if you ask, he's faithful. And so if you want a greater anointing or a fresh anointing, you guys, our church, we need a fresh anointing here at Emmanuel. We do. We will never forget what God has done in our past here at Emmanuel. But let's look ahead with anticipation of what he wants to do in the future here at Emmanuel. We can't do it without him. And I know you don't want to do it without him anyway. So Lord, we do that today. We ask that you would give us a fresh anointing, a fresh baptism of your power, of your authority, of your might in our lives. Lord, help us. Help us to be spirit-filled people. Let us be people that are led and guided, that know the signs of the times, that are convicted of our sins, that walk in holiness with you, that walk in power, that walk in fruitfulness, that walk in the Spirit through the gifts, that walk in love. Let us be people like that, we ask. Let us be a congregation that is like that, a people that follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you. Amen.